Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Trust that you are well, and as we are on the cusp of a new year, even as Pastor Andre prayed for us this morning, I trust that you enter on a high rather than on a low, or you are on the rise as you enter the new year. I want to say a few things before I give you this morning's message title. And I just want to start by saying that you may have noticed the middle of the year there were these Thai children, the soccer team and their coach, who went exploring in caves. And while they were exploring, they exposed themselves in a dangerous way because the monsoon rains came and they got flooded. They were exposed to the elements. They ran out of air. Lots of things went wrong, but the Navy SEALs came in and did a whole rescue operation. And I remember being in Australia. We were at the Hillsong Conference, and I was praying and asking God for his mercy. And we were hoping for a very, very good outcome. And there was one. They were all rescued, except one Navy SEAL died of a physical condition. But, you know, what we had hoped for came to pass. If you saw that story, or if you know about it. But then you ask yourself the questions, because it was touch and go. It could have gone any way, isn't it? You ask yourself, why did they survive? And why didn't other people who found themselves in difficult circumstances, why? We have these questions, don't we? We don't articulate them sometimes. I'm very careful to ask God why questions. Because I want to be a mature believer, but in your heart, you ask the question, why? And honestly, we don't have answers for these questions. In Ecclesiastes 9 from verse 11, this might help you. This scripture might help you. It says, I have observed something else under the sun. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. And the strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. The wise sometimes go hungry. The skillful are not necessarily wealthy. And those who aren't educated don't always lead successful lives. It is all decided by chance, by being in the right place at the right time. People can never predict when hard times might come. Like fish in a net, or birds in a trap, people are caught by sudden tragedy. Now, I'm not meaning to quote this scripture as a hopeless situation, like there's no hope at all. This is not my point. This is just merely to help you understand that these are things that we don't always understand, and we may think we do, and we have answers, but actually only God has all the answers. Now, many years ago, in fact, 40 years ago, when we were newly saved, we had only known God for 5 years, a friend of ours, he was in his 20s, his wife was expecting their second child, a son. He got killed on his way to work on his motorbike, and we were devastated. You know, I remember I took it so badly because he witnessed to me on the train one day before I knew Jesus, and he was handing out tracts, and he was a wonderful believer. And I was devastated. I was actually physically ill from the shock because they were so dear to us. And we couldn't understand this. I was like, how is this even possible? And our pastor at his funeral quoted and did a message around Deuteronomy 29 verse 29, and it's helped me to know that there are certain things that we will never understand on this side of eternity. And we mustn't assume that we do, because we might embarrass ourselves when we finally hear what God is actually saying. In fact, I didn't look this up, but I just remembered while we were worshiping. Is it Isaiah 47 or 57? 57 says, the righteous are taken away so that they may be spared some evil. Summing around the gist of what I've just said, the righteous are taken away because God has a plan for some people, and we don't understand it. But the secret things belong to the Lord, it says, our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, so we may do all the words of this law. Amen. So there are secret things, church, and we don't always understand what's going on. Robert Schuller wrote a book called Life's Not Fair, But God Is Good. Life isn't fair. Life is very uncertain. But God is still on the throne. He's still good. He does good. Amen. That's who He is. He hasn't changed who He is. Even though bad things happen, even though the Holocaust happened, even though apartheid happened, God is still good. He's on the throne. And only He knows the answers to our questions. Amen. On this day, 18 years ago, our grandson Shannon passed away. He drowned. And I was hoping when I got the call that there was some mistake. He was only 3 years of age, so he would have been 21 this year. And I hoped there was a mistake. Then Andre went to the hospital and he phoned me and he said, it's not a mistake. Our little boy is gone. Then this is me, like, raise him from the dead in Jesus' name. Pray for him to rise again. But you know what? Church, it never happened. But then my hope was that his soul was safe. And I know it was because we dedicated that little boy to Jesus. And you know, the reality is God is sovereign. Say this to yourself. He has the final say. He is sovereign. Bad things happen to some people and they get through it. Bad things happen to other people and they don't get through it, but God still knows. He's a good God. You know, 7 years later, after that experience, my best friend, who was saved at the same time as me, Christine, from Cape Town, she phoned us and said, Seth, our grandson, drowned. And I just went through all those same emotions. The emotions that I went through, sorry to be so graphic, was, what was he thinking, little boy? What were you thinking? How scared were you? Were you, what was going on? And it's like, God just like, don't go there. Do not think on those things. Amen? He is in God's hands. But Seth was put on life support. Today, he's a vibrant teenager, no brain damage. I didn't go before God and said, Lord, that's not fair. Why did you do that to Seth, and why did you do that to Shannon? I remember a year after Shannon drowned, I was at like a dinner and people were talking, and I don't think they realized how this would impact me. But this one woman was saying, oh, did you hear about that little boy that fell into the pool, but angels were holding him up? What am I supposed to do with that? Ask yourself. It's a year after he drowned. What am I supposed to do with that? It's a secret thing, church. If I had given up hope, I wouldn't be standing in front of you today. I wouldn't be giving you hope. I'm hoping, excuse the pun, to bring hope to you, but also to bring understanding, as Pastor Andre spoke about the three young men, the Hebrew boys who said, we're going to go into that fire. Our God will save us. And even if He doesn't, that's a mature point of view. Because sometimes it goes this way and sometimes it goes that way. You know, last week we had hoped that Kalel would survive because his little sister had died instantly in a car accident and he had severe brain trauma. And he was on life support. And this is my kind of prayer. Lord, bring him through. You can't take him as well. His sister's already gone. What are his parents going to do? Lord, he could be the future campus pastor of a Rivers church 20 years down the road. But you know what? It wasn't to be. God's sovereign, and he knows why. And he took him. And it didn't make sense. Amen? Church, we don't just need hope for now, we need hope for the year after. Not just for the year and now, but for the year after. And I've entitled today's message, Keep Hope Alive. Keep hope alive. Amen? When I asked Pastor Andre at the beginning of this month, I had started a few thoughts on some other messages, but we were on holiday and I started seriously thinking about seeking God about a message in season. None of these sad things that had happened. And I said to him, what do you think the church will need? And we both said simultaneously, hope. And then I knew God was speaking to me. The definition of hope is, it's an optimistic state of mind that is based on an expectation of positive outcomes with respect to events and circumstances in one's life or the world at large. As a verb, its definitions include expect with confidence and to cherish a desire with anticipation. Amen. It's so important that we have hope. Amen. Faith is also the substance of things hoped for. They work together. Amen. You can't go through life not having hope. There's always hope. And I hope to build on that as we go along and inspire you with God's word. David wrote these words in Psalm 71, verse 14. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. Now, it may just sound like an odd verse that I found out on the subject of hope, but the reality is, it is interesting that he wrote this because he had hoped for his baby boy to survive. While he was in sackcloth, while he was fasting, while he was praying, while he was crying for his little boy to survive, His hopes were dashed when the child passed away. But this is what he did. He had the mature approach. He said, he got up, he washed his face, got dressed and started eating, and all his servants were like, what's up with this guy? He's schizophrenic. He should be even more devastated. No, this is what he said. See, his hopes weren't dashed. He said, I cannot bring him back, but I can go to where he is. And church, that is the reality when we have loved ones and friends who pass away, when they know Jesus, we have this certain hope that we will see them again. Amen. So my first thought this morning is, life is uncertain. There's no doubt about it. Life is uncertain. And we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. Right? According to God's word. So no matter what happens, he has the whole world in his hand. He's in control. The Bible was written to uncertain people, to an uncertain world by uncertain people. You look at the Apostle Paul, he wrote many, many letters while in prison, while facing death, right? And so he was uncertain to a measure about what the next day would hold. But God used him to write to an uncertain world some very important lessons that we need to learn. And you know, church, this is the book of life. This is where we go for our answers. The word of God is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. This is where we get our answers, our inspiration. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. It's not all over when we think things have fallen apart for us. And this book, it never comes to the end. Now, I say that because I've done consecutive reading for many years, reading from Genesis right through to Revelation. So you don't close the Bible at the end of the year and say, that's it, I've read the book cover to cover. No, you never stop. The story never ends. You keep learning new principles, new answers to your questions, amen? I posted yesterday, it's a book that's alive, it doesn't have an ending, amen? Our ending is in eternity with Jesus, amen? So never push the word of God aside and feel, oh, well, I'm disappointed. God let me down. His promises aren't really true. No, 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 no. You need to build yourself up in God. Amen. Do you know that life has always been uncertain? Adam and Eve in the garden, there was uncertainty about their obedience. But what did they do? They blew it. They were disobedient, right? Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt, what did they hit? They hit obstacles, the Red Sea, all kinds of things. There was uncertainty. Ruth and Naomi leaving Moab to go back to Judah, there was uncertainty about their future, but look who Ruth turned out to be. In the line of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Uncertainty, but incredible outcomes. Just remember that. Esther was determined to save her people, but Mordecai, her uncle, was even more determined, right? And things were very uncertain at that point in time. Uncertain things written to uncertain people about uncertainties. Amen. Daniel in the lion's den, anything could have happened, but he came through it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, again, they came through it. It was an uncertainty. We won't, but even if our God doesn't save us, we believe he will, but even if he doesn't, we're not bound to this God of yours. Amen. And then Jesus in the tomb. The disciples were uncertain. That's why they freaked out when the women went back and said, he's no longer there, he has risen. Why did they freak out? They should have been expecting this. They should have been certain. Only Jesus and God, his Father, was certain about the outcome. So never think that we are going to be certain about everything. Life certainly is uncertain. Never doubt God. God is not uncertain. Amen. So Hebrews 13, verse 5 and verse 8, this is God telling us, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And then it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Never be uncertain about who God is. He says who he is. He says what he says about himself. That's the truth. He tells us who we are. That's the truth. No matter what happens, if the world were to fall around us, think about all the bad things that have happened to people, yourself, what you've read about, God is still who he is. Amen. He's a good, good Father. Number two, remember God is the God of hope. Never say, well, why must I hope in God when what I wanted didn't work out for me? Imagine if David did that. Imagine if we did that. We would have packed our bags and just stayed at home and not gone forward. You have to move forward like King David. Stop fasting, stop crying until a point. Obviously, you do. You do stop crying and get on with your life because only God has the answers. Amen. Romans 15, verse 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, we are not called to be natural. We are called to be supernaturally natural. Do we realize that? We are different. We have been born again by the Spirit of God. He has made us new. We have a new Father. We have a new destiny. We have a new way of thinking. And we cannot think as the world thinks. We can't agree with them when our worlds are falling apart and they have answers. It just doesn't work that way. I mean, so the God of hope will fill us with hope. We have to receive that hope, and we have to live in hope. Amen? And in Jeremiah 29:11, I love this, and I think many of you will agree with me, just how focused God is on us to do us good. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. My third thought this morning is hope will never run out. Hope will never run out. There may be seasons where we may feel hopeless. It's not working. This treatment is not working. This country is not working. My marriage isn't working. This business isn't working. It's not the time to give up hope. It's better to hope like David and get your answer and accept it than to never have hoped at all. It's better to be a person with hope than to be a person without hope. I can't imagine that I've ever met someone without hope. Although you do hear people talk, you're not sure where they're at. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 12 says, "We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then, see it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly just as he knows us. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly, and the best of the three is love." It's the three things that remain, church: faith, hope, and love. And I love that hope is right in the middle of those threes. Those three that will never die, that will never run out. Amen. We may look at our country and be discouraged. Who wouldn't be? But I told the first service, you know, on this platform and next door, whenever we've prayed for our country, it's no sooner, like 2-3 days later, God exposes something. Something, he shines his light on the darkness and something comes to the fore. We have a process that we've got to be patient with in our nation that we have to work through. We don't want load shedding. We don't want the interest hikes. We don't want the unkindness in our country. We don't want the divisions in our country. We don't want the crazy driving in our country, do we? But I still believe that the church is able to be a bearer of Christian hope that can contribute towards shaping a better future for South Africa. Thank you. You know, you have to say a lot of things don't make sense. Don't let the wires fuse in your brain about when you start thinking about some of our history in terms of why am I even in this country? Why am I, as a European person from that side, Holland, I think, Germany, why am I here? I have to say, I'm here for such a time as this. I have to say, with Esther, who was an exile, I'm here for such a time as this because I have an ability to love. I have an ability to give. I have an ability to forgive. I have an ability to pray. I have an ability to believe God, to have hope for this country. I'm not going to be part of the problem of this country. I'm going to be part of the solution of this country. Amen? That is for this reason I find myself here in 2019 on the doorstep. I'm here for such a time as this to make a difference, and I have to believe that God knows the plans that he has for my life, for being in this nation. And I think the same for you too. You need to have hope. You need to say, this is a delightful land. This is a land of opportunity. God can turn things around. He already has exposed the darkness. So we're going to wait on him for the more that he's going to do in our country. He's going to unite this country. He's going to show the world just how beautiful a country this is. Amen? When the people love, the people forgive, the people move forward together, the people build this nation. Amen? They don't just take from us. Amen? They give back. Amen? They give, they build, they love, they feed through the Rivers Foundation. They help the poor. So, Jürgen Moltmann said, "Totally without hope, one cannot live. To live without hope is to cease to live. Hell is hopelessness. It is no accident that above the entrance to Dante's Hell, which is a poem, a book, a play, it says, 'Leave behind all hope, you who enter here. It is only in hell that there is no hope.'" We are not in hell. We are in a land of opportunities, amen? We are in a land that is a beautiful and delightful land. We've got a way to go. We've got things that we've got to get through, but let's be part of building our nation and part of building the church in our nation. Amen. Number four, how can we have hope when everything looks hopeless? I did a bit of a study, and I wish I could have found some stats about our own country. I wish someone had put together some of the things that I could read out to you today to give you hope. But I found that World Vision posted 19 reasons to have hope in 2019. And I'm going to quote 10 to you because time won't allow. So first of all, extreme poverty is giving up ground. You see, we watch news, we watch channels, we read like posts, and we buy the newspaper, and we believe if 10 people are saying the same thing, we are now believing that this is the truth. We actually all need to do our own homework and our own research, right? It's important that we do, because listen what they're saying. In the last 20 years, the number of children dying around the world from things they shouldn't, from hunger and poverty and disease, has dropped from more than 30,000 a day to less than 15,000. Now, it's still too many. Nuska, am I right? No one should die of hunger, of poverty, and of disease. I mean, it's still too many. But what it is saying is you have hope. Things are happening. It's not getting worse. It's actually getting better. Would you believe that it is? It says here, those living on less than $1.90 a day dropped by more than 1 billion. So let's believe this good report, church. Let's believe this, and let's not sit on our laurels now and say, oh, well, that's okay. Let's be on board with the foundation. Let's increase our feeding to 100,000 in 2019. Amen. Can you believe with me and play your part? We are 99% on the way of eradicating polio globally. It's something that did go away and then it flared up again, but they are at 99% on the way of eradicating polio. Then the end of HIV and AIDS pandemic is in sight. I don't have time to read you all the stats, but truly, they are saying that what they see when it peaked in 2004 to what they see now, they are believing that we're going to eradicate HIV/AIDS. And that's very positive for a country where the stats of our nation is one of the highest in the whole world. I mean, so it's very, very positive. We can solve the global water crisis within our lifetime. You know, we must conserve. We must, like, we recycle, church. What we do is, in the morning when I run my hot water, particularly in winter, I don't let that water just run down the drain. I have a conviction that it's water running down the drain, and people who need water are not going to get it, so I'm a little pedantic. I've got my 2-liter plastic bottles. It doesn't look very glamorous in my bathroom, but there it is. I turn it on and I do not waste. And sometimes it's up to 3 liters of water that I would have wasted had I not done that. And we must still do that and be aware that it's one of our greatest resources. But you know what? There are plans afoot and underway from caring people, from generous people who invest in these people to make a difference in our world. And they are seeing hope for our future. I trust that you don't believe every negative thing that you read and that you also see hope. Amen? World Vision has partnered with the UN and UNICEF to launch the Global Partnership to End Violence Against Children. They have a magic year. 2030 is the year in which they believe that they would have, they would see hope to an end of abuse, trafficking, and all forms of violence and torture against children. And they also have this to say: men in India are taking a stand against a harmful tradition, child marriage, that has tarnished the worth of girls for centuries. Then another thing is they have opened channels, working more openly and in an exclusive way and in a fair world for people with disabilities. So I don't know, sometimes if you go to Woolies, bless them for this, you see people in wheelchairs or people with disabilities working in amongst the clothing, doing stock check, whatever they do. It inspires me hugely because people have value whether they're able-bodied or disabled, amen? And they are saying by 2050, this is all going to be the standard of our world that we are living in. And then innovative technology is transforming remote communities around the world. So there is a good reason for why we have technology. And then restored relationships and lives are possible, even in the worst situations. They've gone into Rwanda and they've discovered where neighbor hated neighbor, they are now seeing glimmers of hope, and they're now seeing that people are actually weeping and repenting and saying, we're so sorry, what were we thinking? And loving on each other, cooking for each other. So there's always hope. It's not, this world is not hopeless, church. And then lastly, since the Syrian refugee crisis began in 2011, World Vision has helped millions of people in Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, and Iraq. You know, there's Preemptive Love, there are other sort of organizations that's making a difference. It's not just World Vision alone. They're just saying this is what they're doing, but they're also recognizing other people are also coming on board. And I take this quote by a gentleman. He is a Syrian. His name is Iyad, a mechanical engineer who started working for World Vision as a result of what he saw. He says, this is what gives me hope. Are we talking about hope? Amen. Seeing people from all over the world caring enough to help, there is still goodness in this world. Church, we must look for the good things, even the small things. This is by no means a small thing. But, you know, I recently heard someone say that, you know, I still have faith in the goodness of people because I left my wallet at Pick and Pay on the counter and I got a call from the manager to say, ma'am, you left your wallet. And when that person went back, all the credit cards were still there. Every single rand was still there. And then you have to say this, you almost don't expect goodness anymore. But we must expect good people. I mean, they're good people. If we don't see the good in the world, we won't have hope. But we've got to believe the best, amen? We know we can't trust everybody. We know there are people out there that can harm us. There's dangers. There are uncertainties. But let's not put everyone under the same blanket and say, you can trust no one. No, we need to trust people. So, how to keep hope alive in 2019. Number one, hold on to the God of hope and to his precious promises. In fact, it says his precious and powerful promises. Amen. Hold on to God. That's your H in hope this morning. Even when things are uncertain, you know, and things don't go according to plan, hold on to God because he is holding on to you. He has not abandoned you. He has not forgotten you. Amen. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You need to hold on to him. Amen. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, his Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life to this God of hope. Number two, optimism. Be optimistic and positive, please. Don't be negative and pessimistic and join in the hectic conversations about how this country sucks. I've never said that. I'm only saying it, I'm quoting someone else who I don't even know. This is a delightful land. It's got opportunities. Do you know that the whole world is in trouble? These are not unique situations we're finding in South Africa. The whole world is in trouble. You go to that country, there are issues there. You go to that country, there are issues there. You might as well stay in this country and help build it. Amen. Be a light. Be hope. When people talk nonsense about how this country is this, that, and the other, I realize I can't fix that. I will just turn my back in the queue and just say, Lord God, this is a delightful land. There's hope for this country. The people are beautiful. The people are kind. There's work to be done, and we can pull together as a team. Amen. Build yourself up. Jude 1:20 says, but you, beloved, don't you just love how the Bible is written? So I look at all of you, you beloved. You beloved. I'm beloved. Isn't that beautiful? God sees us as his beloved family, his beloved children. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Number three, preach to yourself. What do I mean? Preach to yourself. Pull something out of your emotional reservoir. We sit in church, wherever we find ourselves in church, year after year, decade after decade. Surely there's a deposit on the inside of you that you can pull out of yourselves in time of need. Amen? Psalm 42, David again, verse 5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. It is believed from scholars that David's soul was in conflict with himself, and therefore he was like talking to his soul. I like to do that. I learned that early in my Christian walk, to speak to myself. Hey, what's up with you? Why are you thinking these things? Start focusing on who God is. Start praising him. Take your eyes off yourself. Take your eyes off your situation. Preach to yourself. Don't be codependent. If you want to grow this year, 2019, your year of hope, do not depend on under shepherds. Do not depend on Pastor Andre, myself, or any of our staff. We are there to assist you in your time of need, to answer your questions. You have the ability to enter the throne room of your Father for yourself. And even if you can't get the words out, you can just say, Lord, here I am. I know you love me. I know I'm welcome in your presence. And I know you have what I need. And so, Lord God, please change my mindset. Lord, help me to change here in the things that I'm thinking and wanting to do. Do it for yourself. Preach to yourself. And you will see your life rise up in hope. Number four, expectation. And not just expectation. Have a confident expectation, church. Be confident in who God is. This is the confidence we have, amen, in Christ. If we pray and ask according to his will, amen. Before I close with a closing illustration, I just want to read a very beautiful verse from the book of Job, chapter 14, verse 7. And this is what it says. For there is hope for a tree. Why am I saying this? Because I wrote in my book that we are oaks of righteousness. How's it, my oaks? We're oaks of righteousness. Amen. We are seen as trees of cedars of Lebanon. We are seen as the oaks of righteousness. There's hope for a tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its shoots will not cease. Though its roots grow old in the earth, there's hope for Paps and I, and its stump die in the soil, yet at the scent of water it will bud and put out branches like a young plant. At the scent of the word of God, the washing of the water of the word, there's hope. We will bud again. The filling and the refreshing of the Holy Spirit. We will bud again. There's hope. Don't be hopeless in this world. Amen. And as a believer, you cannot stop hoping. Be a hopeful person, filled with hope, because you serve the God of hope. Be like your Father. He's the God of hope. Be a hopeful person. Many of you may have seen during the week that a young gentleman took his fiancée, well, he actually wasn't engaged yet, but he took his girlfriend to the steps of his burnt-out house in California. His house was destroyed by those devastating fires. And when he got to the top of the steps, he went onto his knee and he proposed to his girlfriend and asked her to become his wife. To me, that speaks of hope and it speaks of vision. And even if you feel this year you've lost everything or close to everything, A new life awaits you from the ashes of what you have gone through. You need to stand on the steps of the ruins of 2018 and propose new plans and new dreams for 2019. God bless you, Pastor Andre.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.